Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. On this week's program, I'd like to address the controversial situation happening in Minneapolis, the ICE operation called Metro Surge, which began in December and has deployed between 2,000 to 3,000 federal agents to the Twin Cities. Now, to begin with, my objective is not simply to give my own views, but hopefully a fair evangelical perspective. Evangelicals voted for Trump in very high percentages, and they still support his policies. And it isn't because of white racism, as the political left claims. It's because the Trump administration supports much of the moral law of God. There's a reason why the left is pro-abortion, pro-transgenderism, pro-LGBT, pro-open borders, pro-Marxism. And evangelicals are pro-life, pro-biological gender, pro-traditional family, pro-nationalism, pro-small government, pro-free market and property rights. Because each group has a different foundation for morals. On the left, the basis for morals is human freedom and desire. It's an outgrowth of humanism, affirming man. And on those on the right, the basis for morals is the law of nature and nature's God. God's law trumps human lusts. And that's what's behind the culture war in America and in every nation since time began. One can deny this all they want, but this is the biblical explanation. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them. That is, they strive or fight the lawlessness of the wicked. So there are two groups, those who forsake God's moral law and those who keep God's moral law. Now, before we get into the situation, I want to begin with three timeless biblical principles that one must understand before discussing any of these issues. First, God's people, the Christian community, must speak forth God's truth on this issue and every issue. Don't be silent. Psalm chapter 40, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. This is just one of hundreds of verses that remind us that the church is not to stay silent, not to retreat to monasteries. When the culture war is raging, we're to speak up concerning all of God's moral principles and yet be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. In the words of Martin Luther, this great quote, if I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point, which the world and the devil are at any moment attacking, I'm not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. The second key truth to keep in mind, the ungodly, the pagans, the humanists hate God's moral values. As Jesus said, you'll be hated by all nations on account of my name. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 4, those who reject God's law will praise the wicked. And also Psalm 50, but to the wicked God says, you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. So the ungodly will always support the criminals and the perpetrators and blame the righteous. The third basic principle to keep in mind is that error, this attack against God's truth, will always be very subtle and deceptive. 2 Corinthians 11, false teachers, deceitful workers will claim to be apostles of Christ, for even Satan appears as an angel of light. Titus 1:16, they will profess that they know God, but by their works they will deny him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, at the judgment, these false teachers will say to Jesus, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Weren't we on your side? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you who work lawlessness. That's the point. They work lawlessness. Isaiah chapter 5, they'll call evil good and good evil. And that's going to perplex everyone. Matthew 24:24, false Christs and false prophets will arise. And they'll be so deceptive that if it were possible, they would even deceive God's people, the elect. So let's not be surprised if the ungodly will claim to be the moral ones. If the ungodly will claim to be on Jesus' side. Many of them will even be clergy. And if you don't realize the deceptive nature of evil, you're going to think that there's something wrong with the Bible. That the Bible is so ambiguous that one can't really know for sure what's true. And therefore, Christians, at the very least, need to keep silent because we can't be sure about our convictions. And that's how the ungodly get us to cower and be silent. Exposing evil can be a very tough nut to crack. The undiscerning, the biblically illiterate will never realize the error of the wicked. But the true Christian can and will discern and discover the error. You know, every wolf in sheep's clothing has a zipper in the costume. And that zipper reveals the truth. There will always be a point where the ungodly, in claiming to be righteous, will violate some clear moral law of God. At some point, they will support amoral lawlessness. And that's the red flag God wants us to see. By their fruits, you will know them. And the lawlessness will often come as a package deal. This is what they call intersectionality, where the same people that are for open borders are also pro-abortion, pro-transgender, pro-LGBT, because their entire moral foundation is wrong, so they get everything wrong. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. They cannot understand true justice, but as I mentioned, in their misunderstanding of justice, they're going to claim to be the social justice warriors, speaking truth to power. Now, as far as Minnesota is concerned, 2 weeks ago, when Renee Good was shot by an ICE officer, I was visiting my son and his family in St. Paul. And I visited that city often and become very familiar with the area, taking many bike rides through the city. And like many cities in the North, it is a left-leaning Democrat stronghold. On many lawns, there are leftist signs, LGBTQ signs, BLM signs, love is love signs. And one thing I have discovered about Minnesotans, they hate the cold weather and the snow because everywhere I went, I saw signs, abolish ICE. You have to laugh at that because I worked long for that joke. But part of the reason for the anti-ICE movement, the leftism in Minnesota, might have to do somewhat with what they call Minnesota Nice. Even at the airport, there was a big sign, Minnesota Nice. They're certainly not like New Yorkers. But there can be niceness to a fault, where evil is not addressed, where the population becomes naive. Niceness or sympathy is not always a virtue, because there can be sympathy for the devil. My take on Minnesota is that there is a theological problem. They have a different Jesus. It's a college town. All of these intellectual institutions, even the religious ones, have abandoned the gospel for a leftist humanistic religion. McAllister College, Hamline, Concordia have all gone woke, not even to mention all the public universities. They've replaced the gospel of man's sin and God's salvation with a gospel where God affirms man. As the pulpit goes, so goes the nation. And it doesn't start with these institutions immediately embracing Marxism. It starts with denying the substitutionary atonement of Christ, denying the wrath of God, denying the nature of sin and man's fallen condition. Then as a consequence, 50 years later, comes all of the policies of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it takes academic teaching of false ideology in these universities to override conscience and natural law, that which people in rural areas know by nature. The intellectuals are reprogrammed to despise. And that's why the intellectual centers are always hotbeds of leftism. Additionally, I find that Minnesota is a very productive and affluent area, but there's a whole new generation living on the moral capital and the economic capital built up by Christian values. They don't recognize the source of their blessings. They believe their forefathers were all wrong and the state needs to turn to Marxism so that there will be justice. The new generation doesn't know anything about sin and personal accountability and responsibility. They don't know anything about the biblical maxim, if anyone doesn't work, neither should he eat. And this affluence always produces immoral values in the unsaved. As we read in the book of Ezekiel concerning the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, their immorality, which was due to their arrogance, their abundant food, and their careless ease. When a subgroup in a city doesn't have to work by the sweat of their brow, but they sit around all day as armchair intellectuals supported by tax dollars and grants, it always produces more wolves in sheep's clothing. So that's all by way of introduction. This rage and these protests in Minnesota are a spiritual problem. It's a battle against God and his law. And this is what happens to a people who reject God's light. They'll be enraged and they'll curse their God and their king because they don't like, in fact, they despise God's moral law. The classic text explaining all this is Isaiah chapter 8. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, the word of God, it's because they have no light. They will pass through the land hard-pressed and famished. And it will turn out when they're hungry, they'll be enraged, and they'll curse their king and their God as they face upward. They will look to the earth and behold darkness and distress, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness. And this is what's happening, and this is why it happens, and this is where it's all going to end. These people will be driven away into darkness. The Babylon Bee, the Christian satire site, headlines: Trump to convert the entire city of Minneapolis into an insane asylum, quote, as part of the executive order to bring back mental institutions. President Trump announced this morning that he would begin by converting the entire city of Minneapolis into an insane asylum. The new executive order aims to stem violence from people on the street with severe psychiatric conditions, such as the entire population of Minneapolis. Trump said it's going to be a big, beautiful loony bin, unquote. Oh, by the way, let's not forget that this is the city that has elected as their congresswoman Ilhan Omar, the radical leftist Muslim Somalian who hates America. And this is the state that elected Tim Walz to be the governor, a high school teacher who was the faculty sponsor of the high school LGBTQ club. So the big news last week was that anti-ICE protesters entered a church in St. Paul because they heard that the pastor worked for ICE. Actually, it's just one of the volunteer elders in the church who worked for ICE. And this was my son's church. And I congratulated my son and daughter-in-law for just being there, because they did more to discredit the anti-ICE movement than anything else that was done since the protests began. And these protesters chose the wrong church. This wasn't a church of elderly parishioners, but a church of hundreds of young couples and families who are going to be the up-and-coming leaders in Minnesota. You know, these protesters exposed their true nature. they removed any illusion that they were charitable. God will often cause the devil to overplay his cards. But what must be addressed is all the accusations against these church members that was made by these anti-ICE protesters. And this is a teachable moment, because these protesters were claiming that they were the true Christians, the true followers of Jesus, and the members of City's church were hypocritical Pharisees. These protesters believed that they were like Jesus, who drove the money changers out of the temple. Chantel Allen, who helped organize this protest against City's church, said, "I grew up in the church, and one of the things I remember is about Jesus Christ is that when things aren't going right in the church, he went in and flipped tables." Also, last week, a number of protesters who claimed to be clergy were arrested blocking the entrance to the Minneapolis airport. Quote, "Faith in Minnesota, a group of religious activists calling for racial and economic justice in Minnesota, claimed that more than 100 clergy and faith leaders were arrested as they were on their knees." The civil rights activist, Nakima Armstrong, who also helped organize this event against City's church, said, quote, "They cannot pretend to be a house of God while harboring someone who is an ICE agent who wreaks havoc on our community." And she also said, "If you're concerned about these protesters disrupting your service to protect immigrants, you need to check your theology." Armstrong claims to be an ordained minister. However, some investigative journalism has exposed her own activities. Here's the article. Radical leftist globalist anti-ICE activist Nakima Armstrong, who helped storm Minnesota church, collected over $1 million running an anti-poverty nonprofit scam. So she was the executive director of the Wayfinders Foundation from 2019 to 2024. And she paid herself $1.1 million, but the charity only distributed $700,000. And this is the way many of these leftist operations operate. These people set up charitable organizations. They get money from the state, and then they pay themselves large salaries. And when confronted, they still claim to be helping poor people, especially themselves. And they believe they are totally justified in receiving large compensation because they believe their ideology is so essential to public welfare. So of course the state needs to generously pay for their political activities. And besides, these salaries are from tax money paid by greedy corporations. So Armstrong, claiming to be like Jesus, is doing exactly the same thing the Pharisees did. Matthew 23:28. "So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And then there was the protester with the long beard, William Kelly. This is his rant.
"As you can see, all these pretend Christians, all these comfortable white people who are living lavish, comfortable lives while children are dragged into concentration camps. You're living real life, nice lives with your lattes, doing absolutely nothing for your Latino and Somali brothers and sisters. You come here to a man wearing a suit. Is a preacher? Did Jesus wear a suit? Did Jesus profit off the words? No! Jesus would die within him. Do not touch me. Touch me again and see what happens.
Hey, you can't.
You are a fake Christian. Why are you not standing with your Somali and Latino communities? Why do I not see you out at Whipple every day protesting this attack on humanity? Where are you? You're sinners. You're pretending to be Christians. But we know you live an easy life, don't you? A very easy life while people are starving. Shame! Out now! Out now! Living real comfortable while the people starve. Living real comfortable while children are dragged into concentration camps. You're all living real comfortable, aren't you? Shame on you. Do something. Stand with the Somalis. Stand with the Latinos. Quit ignoring this injustice. He wears a suit and tie, and he hangs out with Christy Noem. How is that a Christian? You're supposed to accept all immigrants, are you not? Why are you not going down to Whipple and joining us in protest against this inhumanity? You claim to be a Christian. Act like one.
By the way, these so-called comfortable white people at City's church are hardworking, struggling families. And these protesters even shouted down a black man in the congregation telling him that he belonged in a black church. Kelly's rant is just another example of the deceptive claims of ungodly ideologues, even their own self-deception. And let's not be alarmed by such claims, as if since they say it, it must be true. Expect that deceitful workers and false teachers will actually claim to be on Jesus' side. They will even quote scripture. Even the devil, the accuser of the brethren, quoted scripture to Christ in the temptation. But still, it does throw us off that evil people think that they're good guys. Shouldn't evil just be so obvious? And if it's not obvious, the clarity of the Bible is doubted. We begin to doubt our convictions, and that's where they get us. Now, it is true that Christians are very sensitive to being accused of being unloving. We know the story of the Good Samaritan and how all of the Jews passed by their fellow Jew in a ditch and how it took an outsider to help the man. And we know the story about the rich man and Lazarus, how the rich man fared sumptuously every day, but he wouldn't lift his finger to help Lazarus. And we know about Matthew chapter 25, where at the judgment, Jesus will say, "I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat." So when we hear these accusations against Christians, we certainly should check our own heart, see if we might be neglecting the helpless, but at the same time, let's not be deceived by the wicked. William Kelly's rant is exactly what Psalm chapter 50 is addressing. Verse 16, "But to the wicked God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you." Notice that the wicked are said to tell God's statutes and covenants. And this is a reference to wicked people who will use God's law when the moral law of God is convenient for them to justify their evil and to condemn their righteous opponents. And evil people will do this all the time. But the text goes on to say, how can you all of a sudden claim moral superiority when you hate God's moral discipline and you cast God's word behind you and everything else? And then evidence is given of their duplicity. Verse 18, "When you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit." And this is how anti-ICE protesters lose their moral authority. This is the zipper in the wolves in sheep's clothing costume. They support thieves. They oppose these arrests. And if you paid attention to all the news, you'd know that ICE has been very straightforward in explaining the criminals that they're arresting in this Operation Metro Search. ICE has done many press conferences on the issue. And if you go to the Homeland Security website, quote, "ICE continues to remove the worst and the worst from Minneapolis streets, and DHS law enforcement marks 3,000 arrests during Operation Metro Search." The site lists many of the murderers, gang members, and drug dealers and rapists being arrested. This news is not reported, but Minneapolis is a major hub for drug trafficking cartels. Many of our Somalian brothers that ICE is arresting, that William Kelly claims the church is not protecting, well, they're drug dealers and thieves. This is something the Biden administration ignored because it prioritized open borders and diversity, equity, and inclusion over stopping evil. Quote from Homeland Security, "Today, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security released the following statement and information regarding U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's their arrests of dangerous criminals, illegal aliens in Minneapolis, Minnesota over the weekend. This included murderers, rapists, gang members, and perpetrators of fraud. We have arrested over 10,000 criminal illegal aliens who were killing Americans, hurting children, and raining terror in Minneapolis because Tim Walz and Jacob Frey refused to protect their own people and instead protected criminals, said Secretary Kristi Noem. In the last 6 weeks, our brave DHS law enforcement have arrested 3,000 illegal aliens, including vicious murderers, rapists, child pedophiles, and incredibly dangerous individuals. A huge victory for public safety, unquote. Then there was this viral clip that went out last week where an ICE agent rolled down his window and addressed protesters who were trying to prevent ICE from arresting a child sex offender.
Reporting. We're here to arrest a child sex offender. And you guys are out here honking.
We're not honking.
That vehicle right there is honking and impeding our investigations while we're trying to arrest a child sex offender. That's who you guys are protecting. Insane.
So what is the anti-ICE protesters' answer to all this? You ready for this? They don't believe ICE is really arresting criminals. It's all a facade to deport immigrants because these ICE agents are racist. Just go on leftist sites and this is what they're actually saying. You know, given their rationale, it's impossible to reason with these anti-ICE protesters. It's like if you're discussing with someone the pros and cons of capital punishment and they say there shouldn't be any capital punishment because these people accused of murder haven't really murdered anyone. All of these indictments are fake. Or they say to you, murder really isn't that bad. So how are you to argue with such a person? The discussion can't be about the enforcement of law because these people don't even believe in sin. They so believe in their ideology that they make up their own reality about ICE and criminal activity. Even the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, said in a news conference last week, referring to his opposition to ICE, quote, "I don't want our police officers spending a single second hunting the father down that just dropped off his kids off at daycare, who's about to go to work a 12-hour shift, who happens to be from Mogadishu or happens to be from Ecuador. That man makes our city a better place. That man is a valued resident of our city and someone who we're proud to have him call Minneapolis home." So notice how he's characterizing ICE operations. That they're arresting fathers who work 12 hours a day to support their children. Well, that's his own characterization of the whole operation. That's not reality. But why does he see it that way? Frey doesn't make any reference to ICE arresting any real criminals. You know, one would think that these politicians and these anti-ICE protesters would at least be saying, deport the criminals, but protect the legal immigrants. But that's not what they're saying. They're saying abolish all of ICE, get ICE completely out of the city. Now, it's true that in ICE operations, if ICE finds individuals who have overstayed their visa or have come into the country illegally, they deport them. That's the law ICE must operate under. And there's a good reason to deport those who deliberately and brazenly decide to come into our country without going through the proper channels. I mean, would you go into China or into Russia uninvited and demand that you have a right to live in China? Now, this is a whole issue that I've discussed in great detail in other programs. But for these protesters, the issue is not about making a distinction between criminals and non-criminals. They don't want any deportations. They believe no one is illegal. If someone comes across the border, they should automatically be made a citizen. And this was the Democrat position in holding to open borders under Biden. These leftist politicians in blue states won't even let ICE go into jails to deport illegals. Here's a quote from the former head of ICE under President Obama. Quote, there are jurisdictions that have very restrictive sanctuary policies where you're sitting there scratching your head saying, these are bad guys. Why won't they give us custody of this person in jail? So how do we explain all this? The support for the criminal element. Well, Psalm chapter 50. But to the wicked, God says, when you see a thief, you're pleased with him. We must understand the mind and the nature of the unsaved, those who are far from God. As I've said many, many times, these are people who don't believe in sin. They certainly don't believe in the seriousness of sin. They don't believe that sin needs to be punished. In fact, they despise the punishment of sin. And many of these politicians and social leaders don't want drug dealers arrested, because unbeknownst to the public, they're doing lines of cocaine on the weekend. And hence, there is this subconscious animus toward law enforcement. They don't believe in their own sin, and they certainly don't believe in the sins of others. They have a subconscious camaraderie with the criminal mind. Proverbs 21:15, the exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is a terror for the workers of iniquity. So of course they're going to fight against it. And as the Apostle Paul wrote, that in the last days, men are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, irreconcilable, unloving, malicious gossips, without self-control, haters of the good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And when these people reach a critical mass in a nation, you have Isaiah chapter 8. They have no truth. They will be enraged and they will curse their God and their king, but they'll be driven away into darkness. One final text of scripture to bear in mind, because it's not as if what we're seeing is not dealt with in the Bible. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 13 rebukes the social leaders of Judah for their support of the perpetrators. Ezekiel 13:19, you put to death some who should not die and keep others alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to your lies. Verse 22, because you have disheartened the righteous with falsehood when I did not cause him grief, but you have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked ways and preserve his life. These leftist leaders end up encouraging the wicked and hurting more people. Notice that social leaders can encourage evil by their lies. And notice that law enforcement actually preserves lives. Well, I'm out of time. This issue is not going away, so I'll be addressing it again in upcoming programs. I mean, we haven't even begun to discuss all the financial fraud in Minnesota with the Somalians, $19 billion stolen. But thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. Email me if you want. Stand firm in the faith, and may Jesus Christ reign.